We are back on Wyoming Sports Talk today as we talk with LCCC leading Golden Eagles head coach Brian Ortmeier as they get ready for the Lady Plainsmen against NJC coming up Thursday afternoon. A game that will be at 1 o'clock, and I'm not, because you told me.
I will reference to what's going to happen this Thursday is we're working with Scottsbluff with Western Nebraska, where they plan to at least do their own streaming thing out there. So they're going to take advantage of that internet access out there, but they're going to try and help us out at least for Thursday. At least I'll just say in large, at least this weekend with LCCC to at least potentially bring you at least a visual sign on Periscope at the 1480K YouTube channel. Again, LCCC's contest. They're live from Scotts Bluff, as we've known from carrying the men. At least our other way to bring the broadcast live does not work there in the Cougar Palace. It's pretty tough to get those Verizon, at least Rays, into the palace. So, again, hopefully, once we get there, we'll know a definitive answer.
Brian, let's go back to earlier conversation. You were talking about internationals, and mm-hmm. we've had this discussion before. I notice this on a lot of rosters that Spain is one of the key countries that brings young ladies at least into the Region 9, whether it's north or south. Mm-hmm. Germany, Serbia, but I would say for the most part it's Spain. Yeah. That has that international flair here in Region 9. Why?
You know, some of it has to do with, and this is probably the biggest reason why, a lot of the foreign players that come from a country like Spain, they have an equivalency test called a TOEFL test that you have to have a certain number, or again, for like LCCC, it's you have to have a 61, and it just grades how well you speak the English language. How well do you write? How well do you speak it? So for us, with us having that number, it makes it a little more difficult to get kids that don't speak English very well. And again, from different countries, I think there's only about five or six that we automatically waive that test score. But again, if a kid doesn't meet that score, we can't accept them into LCCC. What you see with a lot of other two-year schools in our region and in our area is they don't have that score. They don't have that test. So what they have is what they refer to as an ESL program, English as a second language. So they can take those kids on. They learn English as they go, and that's kind of how they become eligible then, and then they transfer on to a four-year school. So again, if you have that ESL program, my understanding is LCCC used to have it, but got rid of it 4 or 5 years ago, and again, it has impacted some of the recruitment in terms of being able to get into some of those areas. But that's why you see a lot of it. They can't get into a four-year school right away, so they have to come over and qualify.
Let's talk about some of the European influence that I've seen on other programs. You know, for example, EWC.
Mm-hmm.
I see that influence. As a matter of fact, we could even use Mateo Zovko on the guy side.
Yep.
Very aggressive basketball
presence
on the floor, not afraid to, you know, go inside, battle with the tall timber, take it to the bucket. Very, very basketball savvy young ladies that come, you know, from Europe over here.
Yeah, I would say it. One of two things. If, again, you're looking at those types of players, offensively, they're extremely savvy. I mean, they make amazing passes. They see the floor well. They know how to offensively play at least the style of basketball that you're going to see in the U.S. They make amazing post moves. They can, you know, you're seeing crossovers and Euro steps and all that kind of stuff. The one area I would say gets you in a little trouble is defense. I think, again, you see some of those players, they don't play as hard defensively as probably what they could. But, you know, again, even saying that, a lot of the girls that you do see in our region that come from Europe and Spain and a lot of those different, you know, those countries, those foreign places, they do play really well. They're very consistent players. I know, again, just looking at our region, the Poskova kid from Casper ended up making the all-region team. And then, again, the Radenkova girl, I believe they finished 1 and 2 in the voting. So it definitely has a big influence. And if you can get a couple of those players, I think, again, they're just maybe a little more mature because they've been playing against a higher level of basketball for a long time.
And I'm glad you mentioned that with all-region 9, at least teams. Mm-hmm. I do want to mention, as we did on our broadcast, and you had a chance, I do believe, with your team, but congratulations to go out to Gabby O'Connor, who did make it first. first team, at least all Region 9, the lone representative, and we thought it was kind of a snub for LCCC, where, you know, at least Central Wyoming, a team that's getting two representatives, where LCCC, the higher seed, only gets one representative. But is that something that where you got to talk with your team and say, hey, congratulations, Gabby, but is that something you could use as fuel to the fire of, hey, Carly, you didn't get that all Region 9, or, you know, Jakia, you didn't get that recognition, or any players across.
Did they have second team and honorable mentions?
No, our region just does a top 10, and it's voted on by our coaches in our league. And I would say that's the one thing that that does get a little – it gets difficult to get multiple players on the Region 9 team. So with our sub-region, I believe Casper ended up placing 3. You end up with Central Wyoming with 2. That knocks off a lot of, I mean, that's half of your Region 9 team right away. So to have something like that happen, I thought we had a couple players that probably did get snubbed a little bit between Carly O'Brien. Haley Anderson was another player who actually led Region 9 just within the Region 9 games, all 14 that we played, led the region in scoring. So it's, I think with her situation, probably hurt her a little bit being a freshman this year. I think, again, you look at our list and all 10 were sophomores. So that's probably something, again, we'll talk about in the spring at the spring meeting. And again, I think we had one or two teams that got left off. So, again, we're fortunate to have Gabby on there. She is the first Region 9 all region player that we've had. And again, it's just, it seems like the more you nominate, and then again, it waters down your voting too if you kind of have a pretty balanced team.
Well, like where I was going with my question there, especially with Gabby O'Connor, again, congratulations. Mm-hmm. She deserves that at least recognition, but where the term that you use going into NJC, or at least this second part of the tournament, you know, underdogs. Is that something where you went to your team after that win against the Lady Rustlers and said, hey, congratulations, Gabby. The rest of you got snubbed. Let's take that advantage where we're not getting that respect across the region, and let's prove them why we are the better team, or why we need to be at least a team to keep eyes on through this Region 9 tournament.
Sure. I think, again, you can use stuff like that. You can use the underdog role. You know, you can use the snub thing. There's a lot of different things that you can try to use to inspire your team. But I think ultimately, you know, I for the region tournament, you're going to have a lot of Division I and Division II scouts there. But secondly, I mean, you're right there on the doorstep of going to the national tournament. I think that should be motivation enough for the team to look at it and say, if we win 3 games in 3 days, we get a chance to go to the big party, the big dance. So, again, there's a lot of different things that you can use. And I think for us, again, looking at it as an underdog, but also as that approach that we're here, let's let it fly. Let's see what can happen.
How about the situation, too? We were talking about it yesterday with LCCC playing against CWC on Friday. So you got a little battle tested against the the Lady Rustlers, where NJC was inactive. So, and again, you know, I'm trying to throw anything out here, advantage in favor of the Lady Goldilocks. Was it better to get battle tested last Friday in preparation for NJC this weekend on Thursday?
I believe so. The only real advantage you have when you get that extra week is just a rest. If you have kids that are injured, you know, again, they don't have to play that extra game, so they can stay away from an injury. I know they were up here scouting us at the game, so there's a couple advantages that they have. But again, I think anytime you take 2 weeks off, you're going to have a little bit of rust. And not only that, you're not playing at home; you're playing at a neutral site, so it's a little bit of a different situation for them having that much time off. So it does make a difference.
With the game plan in preparation for this weekend, on Thursday afternoon against NJC. And you know, again, you're not going to divulge what you're going to show against NJC. Is it later the season now to throw in new wrinkles, or these or already have been in play, and you say this is what we can use against them better than CWC?
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of both. And there's things that you'll go back to, stuff that we maybe tried against them last year that worked well, that you'll bring back out, you know, to maybe use again against them that you know, again, if, you know, there's a couple sets that I can think of when we played them the first time last year that they really struggled with. So there's some things that we may go back to and try and put in quick. But again, you don't really want to try and slow your team down too much this time of the year. You know, again, we want to try and just execute the things that we've been doing really well over the last 4 or 5 games. And again, but you'll still use a wrinkle just to try and throw something new at them.
I'm just curious, a tongue-in-cheek question for you, Coach. Have you noticed any gray hairs or taken extra Tylenol by chance due to the fact your team, as I've dubbed them this season, the Cardiac Kids, were, again, we saw it this past Friday where, hey, we had a good sizable lead, and then it trickled on down to a two-pointer. Mm-hmm. It got nail-biter there at the waning moments, but they took care of business and got the 9-point victory. But, I mean, for a team like that, though, what's kind of your thoughts? Is it thrilling? Is it pretty much just heart-pounding? I mean, how do you deal with it where, again, here we are now into postseason, and it's still kind of continuing happening with this Lady Golden Eagles team?
Sure. Well, that's why I always say I keep my hair shorter so I can't tell how much has fallen out during the season. But, yeah, it's – I think after you play in so many close games, you just get kind of used to it by the end of the year. So, you know, if it's the first or second time it happens in a season, there's some jitters and there's some butterflies as the score gets closer and closer. But I guess probably the saving grace I had is I knew I had about four or five timeouts left late in the game. So as it got closer and closer and closer, I knew there, again, I could take one, change some things, take one, change some things. Where CWC had to use some of theirs early in the game, they didn't have a lot of depth. They were getting tired. And that's probably the other reason that I felt pretty good in terms of where we were getting, even though the score was getting closer. You know, anytime there was a dead ball, number two was about, you know, crouched up on the ground, just, you know, almost sitting on the gym floor because she was so tired. So, again, you could kind of see that they were pretty worn out. And again, once you kind of get them to that point, I had a feeling that our girls could, you know, coming out of the timeout, we're going to make another run there to finish the game.
Well, your team has battle-tested it again. If it comes down to a close-knit contest against at least any day of this Region I tournament, now, again, you know your team is ready for those moments and know how to at least prepare themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were talking with head coach Rusty Horsley of Cheyenne East. It's regional tournament time, state tournament time. Again, you know, as a coach and talking with both you and head coach Jason Ficka of the Golden Eagles, you know, recruiting never takes a day off.
Yeah.
So you're prepping your team for the Lady Plainsmen, but also, too, you're kind of keeping an eye on what's going out east, west, what's going on in Colorado, maybe in Utah. You just can't tear yourself apart into five different pieces, Coach. How are you keeping up on all of that high school talent that's being showcased right now?
You gotta try and balance it the best you can. So that's probably been the most different thing compared to the last 2 years is advancing now. You know, again, it's a little less time to get out to watch some of the Colorado State tournaments, the Wyoming State tournament. You know, again, if we continue to advance, it's going to be happening at the same time with the 4A and the 3A. So there's different ways that you can do it. There's certain video services that you can go back and watch a lot of the games. You know, again, this late in the season, there's a lot of kids that we've seen, so it's just kind of following up and watching them on film and another time or two. And there's going to be a ton of All-Star games coming up over the next 3-4 weeks, so there's a lot of time.
And with the winning of the program right now, and again, the building here over the last 3 years, again, from, you know, first year to second to third year, you're also getting inquiries now, too, as I remember you were telling us that young ladies are emailing you to possibly have what do they do? Do they send you clips, or do you ask them to send film? What?
A little bit of both. They'll sometimes send film ahead of time with their list of accomplishments and some of that. But yeah, you definitely get some of both. You get some kids that you know, they'll see the score, they'll check certain areas of the country just because it's a place they'd like to go play. So again, you'll get some of those that just kind of randomly show up. And again, as you have more success from year to year, you start getting more of those.
All right, Coach. Well, we wish all the best.
Sure.
Thank
you, guys.
See you Thursday afternoon in Scottsbluff.
And keep us busy this weekend as well, too. I hear Texas is pretty nice around this time of the year. Just saying.
Okay.
Just saying, Coach.
Hey, trust me. I'd love to. I think that's 2 weeks or something like that. So we'll see. We'll see if we can get down there.
You got to play them one at a time.
That's right.
Matter of fact, you need to have the young ladies watch Hoosiers. That's just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out there. All righty. Brian Ortmeier joining us.